Thank you. Again, we come to you with studies in the life of this man, Elijah, the great prophet of God, as found in 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19. And in our last lesson, we were dealing with the victory that this man had on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal and the priests of Baal. And if you read the chapter through, you remember in the very first verse, the Lord had told him to go and tell Ahab that God would send rain upon the earth. And we find where he met Ahab. You remember his time with Obadiah, a man who feared the Lord greatly but was in the wrong house. He was more concerned about satisfying Ahab, possibly concerned about his job more than he was the glory of God. Obadiah was full of fear. Elijah was full of courage and dignity. Jehovah before whom I stand was Elijah's position, whereas Obadiah, he was concerned about his stand before Ahab. May God grant to us men like Elijah in these last days who will know how what it means to stand in the presence of God and then come to men. As you follow on through the chapter, I shall not repeat it. Behind the challenge that Elijah gave was the glory of God. How this man yearned for the glory of God. And when he saw the idolatry, he realized there could be no rain until idolatry was stamped out. Let us remember this. Even though God said at the beginning of the chapter, I'm going to send rain on the earth, some things must take place before that rain can come. The cause, that which caused the judgment, was still there, idolatry. And I'm not going to, as I say, I'm not going to go through the whole, all the detail of it except the great victory that he had. And to leave this one thought again with your own heart by way of remembrance. Power in prayer depends not upon your earnestness, but upon the one to whom you pray. Power in prayer depends upon the one to whom you pray. And being the servant of the living God, being in the will of God, Elijah was invincible. Don't care what Ahab thought or what he would like to do, this man was really invincible because he lived in the presence of God. Let me ask you, my Christian friend, where do you stand today? Are you trying to make yourself pleasing to the world at the expense of being out of the will of God? Doesn't pay. It just doesn't pay. Now starting in verse 41 and going to the end of the chapter, that's chapter 18 of 1 Kings, we have this man's faith and then we take up his prayer and so on. But first of all, notice in verse 41, after he had killed the priests and the prophets of Baal, we read that Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Let me just stop here. You notice that in the first verse of the chapter, God said, go and tell Ahab there's going to be rain upon the earth. But first of all, there must be the destruction of the idolaters, the putting out of idolatry, and the recognition that Jehovah was the real God. And until sin was removed, there could be no rain upon the earth. Sometimes I wonder, we Christians, we pray and pray and pray, and we don't get any answer. Is it because there's still that in your life and my life as between us and God? With Elijah, there was nothing. You remember that these priests and prophets spent most of the day crying unto Baal, oh, Baal, hear us. And all Elijah did was to say a very few words in the presence of God. It's not in the amount of praying or the amount of words said in praying. It's a question of your own heart. Being in fellowship, in touch with the living God. And I want to tell you very frankly that God has put into your hands and my hands, if we love the Savior, a tremendous weapon, as we shall see as we go into the chapter. But I want you to mark this. When idolatry was put out, the blessing of God came. And when you come before God with an open heart and confess your sins before Him, your failures, then you'll be open to the blessing of the Lord. Now, the question sometimes is raised, why pray? Didn't God say it would rain? Yes. Now idolatry is stamped out, then why should he pray? Let's see. You'll notice in verse 41, Elijah said to the king, "Get up and eat and drink. There's a sound of an abundance of rain." But there's no sign of rain. But notice verse 42. Mark the contrast of these two men. Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Sometimes I wonder about the callousness of this man, Ahab. All the prophets and the priests of Baal had been slain. The drought was still on the earth. And Elijah said, "Get up, go on, get up, eat and drink. There's a sound of an abundance of rain." So he went up to eat and to drink, still occupied with temper. No, there's nothing in Ahab's heart of repentance or a desire of forgiveness or even the fact that he was through with idolatry. In fact, he wasn't. But Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. Eating and drinking was Ahab's life. Even though he had seen his priests and his religion smashed, eating and drinking was his life. The contrast, Elijah went up to pray. This was his life. Yet there must be cooperation. Notice, please, as an ambassador of God, he pleaded with man. As an intercessor, he pleaded with God. My Christian friend, could I just digress for a moment and tell you this? Take all Christian service and put it in that little statement. We plead with men for God. That's witnessing. We're his ambassadors, beseeching men in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. And then intercessors, we plead with God for men. We plead with men for God. That's witnessing. We plead with God for men. That's intercession. And every Christian has this same responsibility. I just suggest this to your thinking. Before men, we ought to reveal something of the glories of our Savior. Before God, we ought to plead with God for men, that men and women might come to know the Savior. If I'm talking to any of this today, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm sure that somebody is pleading with God for you. And then possibly somebody else has pleaded with you for God. How much longer are you going to keep from putting your trust in the Savior? I say again, Christians, God has put into our hands a tremendous responsibility of being his ambassadors to the world. And then the wonderful honor and privilege of coming in the presence of God and pleading with God for men. So I say here in this passage, as an ambassador of God, he declared God's program to Ahab. As an intercessor, he pleaded with God for the glory of God that the rain should come down. But why pray? And another question I raise, why should he pray? Didn't God say in the first verse, "I'm going to send rain upon the earth"? Then why pray? Listen, friend, this is the royal law of God for his people. You remember the second Psalm, verse 8, where you have God and the nations, and then you have God and his Son, and then we have the Spirit of God at the end of the Psalm. It's an amazing Psalm, by the way. It's a Psalm that's prophetical. It's a messianic Psalm concerning the Savior. And the Father is saying to the Son, "Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now, why should the Son of God ask for this? Did not God say to Abram, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed? Didn't God say to Jacob that there'd be a star rise? Did God not say to Moses that he would raise up a prophet like unto him, and unto him would the gathering of the peoples be? Then why pray? Friend, this is God's royal law. People say to me, why, Mr. Mitchell, why pray when God knows what I need? God knows my need, so why pray? My friend, this is the royal law that God has given to his people. We receive by asking. Ask of me, said he to his son, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. This was not said concerning missions. I know oftentimes it's used for missions, and that's all right. But primarily, he talks to the Son. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for the inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And if Jesus knew, why pray? Do you ever notice that his life was a life of prayer? He lived in the presence of his Father. I do always the things that please him. The Father hath not left me alone. And one could go on. He could say to, in John's Gospel, chapter 16, tonight you're all going to run away and leave me. But I am not alone, for the Father is with me. And in that Gospel through Luke, he teaches over and over and over again, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. God wants us to communicate with him. This is fellowship. This is fellowship. The greatest thing in a person's life is not money or position or honor, but fellowship. You can have all the money in the world and be the most miserable man in the world too, if you have no real fellowship with somebody who understands you and loves you. I want to say, my Christian friend, this is what God wants. He wants you to communicate with him. Again, come back to the passage. Go and tell Ahab, I'm going to send rain upon the earth. And then Elijah, having stamped out the idolatrous practice of Baal worship, he said to Ahab, get up, eat and drink, there's in a sound of an abundance of rain. Then he got down and prayed. He put his face between his knees. In the presence of men, even in the presence of a king, he stood up and declared himself. When he came in the presence of God, he got on his knees. I tell you, talk about humility, we shall see that in a few moments. But please notice this prayer, 42 down through 44. Elijah went up to the top of the mountain, cast himself on the earth, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, you go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked. There was nothing. He said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. He said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare your chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Let me just take one or two things here. You notice that he prayed according to the word of God. I would like to suggest this to you. He prayed according to the word of God. Prayer is the great law in the spiritual world. I take in the natural world, there are certain laws. For example, a farmer, he plows his ground up, prepares it for the seed, puts the seed in, covers it up, and then expects a crop. And there are certain laws he follows if he's going to get a crop. Likewise, in the spiritual world, prayer is one of the great laws in the spiritual world. And this man prayed in faith. In fact, the word of God says, none of them that trust in him shall be put to shame. And this man prayed in the word of God. You take in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9, Jehoshaphat prayed Because he said to God, you told us to pray. When we got into trouble, you told us to come. And he said, here I am with my people. In Exodus chapter 32, you have where Moses prayed. He prayed, and he based his prayer on the character of God and upon the word of God. I tell you, that's good ground for praying. And this man, Elijah, prayed. Though God had said, I'm going to send rain, yet he must pray. And I'm going to read from James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a man, just like you and us. He was a man. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. That is, he prayed with prayers. He meant business, that it would not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, if you come to chapter 17, he came before Ahab, and he said, Ahab, Jehovah before whom I stand, the heavens will be closed at my word. But I find in James that he did some praying before he said that. He prayed and had his answer, that God would keep his word. For God had said, if you go into idolatry, I'll shut the heavens. And he stood upon that word and prayed, and the heavens were shut. It doesn't say how much he prayed, but he came and made the pronouncement to Ahab. God's word became his word. Now he gets on his face. He prayed with humility. You know, I said a while ago, before the king he stood, but before God he was on his face on the ground. He meant business. How do you pray? I'm going to be very blunt when I say this. I've heard some people pray, and I've had the shivers go down my back. What for? The lack of reverence, the lack of awe in the presence of God. This man meant business. He got right down on his face before God. He prayed humbly before God. And then he prayed intensely. May I repeat those three things? He prayed, first of all, according to the word of the Lord. He prayed in faith. He prayed very humbly. He got on the ground and put his face to the ground. Not before the king. Notice that. He didn't bow before the king. He bowed before God. He stood before the king. Oh, that we might realize, we Christians, and I'm going to say a word at this point, we Christians need to realize that our God is a righteous God. He's a holy God, as well as a loving and compassionate God. And when you and I pray, remember we're coming in the very presence of the living God, just between you and God, to come right into, within the veil, come right to the throne of grace, as Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come with boldness to the throne of grace, and there obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have access, says Paul in Ephesians 3. We have access with boldness, with confidence, because Christ is there, because Jesus is there. When you pray, you come in the presence of God. And when you realize that you are in the presence of God, then, my friend, let me say this, you'll pray humbly. And you'll be careful what you pray. And you ought to mean business, as we shall see in our next lesson. In the meantime, spend some time today in the presence of the Lord. Get to know your God. Get to know your God. Commune with Him. Communicate with Him. Pour out your heart to Him. He's always got time to listen to you. Isn't that wonderful? He always has time to listen to you. And the Lord bless you today for His name's sake.